Well, starting off this hour, as we have been doing for many, a few Thursdays now at least, talking about gaming. The gaming industry in the U.S. and across the globe has been a multi-trillion dollar industry for years now. For millions of people, gaming is more than just a pastime. It is a vital source and connection to community. The size and scope of the gaming world has brought a lot of different issues. Labor, economic, cultural, political challenges have rocked the industry in recent years. In light of all that, we've introduced this segment here on Culture Shift to cover the many facets of the gaming world, and we've turned to our own in-house gaming journalist, Nate Bender. He is the host of the podcast Let's Play, a daily gaming news podcast and creator of Checkpoint Radio, the first syndicated radio show for esports. Nate, welcome back to Culture Shift.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me once again. So this week, we're going to be talking about some of the movers and shakers inside of the video game world. And this is not necessarily inside of the video game industry, the people who make the video games themselves. These are people who have found fame and fortune by just simply playing and being enthusiastic about video games. It's an entire industry unto itself, and I'm thrilled to be talking about it this week. But we've got to catch up on some really important stories that have been happening, starting with, of course, Clara Keffels Sorrenti. We have talked about her quite a bit. She was the young woman who was swatted back on August 5th. And this has led to the, not necessarily the exposing, but the destruction and the taking offline of a site called Kiwi Farms. We've talked about this before. Kiwi Farms was a website that was dedicated to harassing marginalized people, whether they were trans, there were people who were, autistic. There were just so many people who were at risk that were specifically targeted by the website. And now, as of this week, Cloudflare, which was their service provider and their security protector, has now dropped Kiwi Farms completely from their service.
Okay, so did we ever find out who is who owns Kiwi Farms? Who is running it exactly?
No, it's mostly anonymous, and for pretty obvious reasons, I can't imagine the type of person that would come out and claim responsibility for something like Kiwi Farms. So, no, this is mostly anonymous actors that are hiding behind this website to keep their anonymity. So Cloudflare came out and said in a blog post, quote, "This is an extraordinary decision for us to make, and given Cloudflare's role as an internet infrastructure provider, a dangerous one that we are not comfortable with. However, the rhetoric on Kiwi Farm sites and specific targeted threats have escalated over the last 48 hours to the point that we believe it is an unprecedented emergency and immediate threat to human life, unlike we have previously seen from Kiwi Farms in any other customer before."
Wow.
This is fairly significant. This is a site that has been around for 10 years and really focused, dedicated trolling and harassment of mostly marginalized people already. This is, quite frankly, a big win for Keffels, certainly, but I think for anyone who is a denizen of the internet.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that. So, I mean, given that this is unprecedented action, have you heard from other gamers or the forums of people talking about this maybe being a pivotal change in this narrative of having people who do things like doxing and swatting and online bullying, having them held accountable?
Yes, I think that this does provide some new mechanisms and at least a precedent for, providers stepping in more. But, Cloudflare was the same provider that was behind the National Stormfront for many years and ended up dropping them for many of the same reasons. I think this is a small victory, but every time this happens, it's sort of like when you know, you turn the light on and the roaches scatter, right? Like these people are not going to stop. They seem very dedicated in their mission to making lives miserable for people. I just think that they're going to find new and inventive ways to do that, unfortunately. But it also must be said that many, many other service providers have been dropping Kiwi Farms. They immediately tried to pop back up on a Russian-hosted web service and was almost immediately taken offline. Even Anonymous has even joined this fight and said, listen, we're going to try to do anything we can to prevent this website from coming back online. So while it is, it is a victory and it should be applauded, I think that, there's more work to do in this area. Just because Kiwi Farms goes away does not mean that harassment as an issue, as a larger issue, or doxing or even swatting is going to, be going anywhere.
Yeah, it's like trying to pull out weeds and not getting at the root.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this next story is actually a really big deal. The League of Legends spinoff television adaptation called Arcane took home 5 Emmys over the weekend. And this is the first time that a video game adaptation has been recognized by any sort of award, ceremony, Emmys, the Academy. This is the very first time that it's been, recognized. And it was awarded for Outstanding Animated Program. It was going up against the likes of Rick and Morty, Marvel's What If. Wow. I mean, some really, really heavy hitters in the animated television department. It also won 3 Outstanding Individual Achievements in Animation for Color Script Artist, Art Direction, and Background Designer, and also Outstanding Sound Editing for a comma or drama series, and animation. And it's excellent. The Emmys are going to be live on FXX on the 11th, and I'll be interested to see if they end up picking up any more wins from the Emmys. But that's just a massive, massive deal.
Wow, yeah.
And in one of the first stories that we had ever covered on One Update, talking about different video game studios that have unionized, this has been a very recent phenomenon. Well, the very first one, Vodio Games, has announced on Wednesday that they are going to be closing the studio. They posted an announcement that says, we have some sad news to share. There will be no new Vodio Games. The story is unfortunately a familiar one for small studios. Despite a year of avid efforts, we've been unable to secure funding for our next project from publishers and investors. As such, we've run out of funds and aren't able to keep the team together. And there's simply no Vodio without our incredible team. Our final efforts are going to be towards a Steam release of Beast Breaker. We hope that we will bring our creation to many new players and continue to support our team even as we go our separate ways. So very sad to hear.
Yeah, very sad. So critics may want to say that because they unionize, now they're closing. Is there any connection, if anything, between these two stories?
No. I mean, unfortunately, this is an issue that we see all too often in indie gaming. Many projects are specifically funded. Sometimes they're crowdfunded. And depending on how that first or second project is received, can have a big impact on going back to those investors and trying to get a second round of investing. It's like any small independent business. And unfortunately, it just so happened that, they had a union underneath them. And, it's just the realities of the video game industry and had nothing to do with the fact that there was a union.
All right. Another one bites the dust. We are talking to our own in-house gaming journalist, Nate Bender. It is the weekly One Update with Nate. So this week, we are going to be talking about some of the big influencers, players, even celebrity fans,
yes,
of gaming right now in 2022. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. I want to start by talking about a guy named Hassan Piker. He goes by Hasanabi on Twitch. This is the guy who I personally watch the most. I really admire his content, And what he does is very unique among Twitch. But let's first talk about some of his statistics. 2.17 million followers, 114 million total views. Peak viewership was 226,000 concurrent viewers.
Wow.
That was back during the election. And average viewership is around 17,000. It's a little bit higher right now. When I've been watching, it's been in the upper 40,000s. But Hassan Piker, instead of just simply playing games, he does play games, but instead of that, his daily broadcast is dedicated to covering and discussing politics. And he has become a major political force on Twitch. And he's an outspoken leftist. He came from the Young Turks. In fact, he's the nephew of I think it's Cenk is the main host on the Young Turks. And he's a columnist at the Huffington Post. He's written columns for them, as well as a host of two different podcasts, Fear And, which is a pop culture podcast, and The Leftovers, which he does with Evan, who some people may know as H3H3 on YouTube. And I admire what he does. This is something that I personally wanted to do myself back in 2016, when I was much more active on Twitch, but never really found the opportunity to do it. And it's just absolutely amazing that he's out there, just openly expressing politics, teaching politics to young kids. I think it's absolutely fantastic. He's inspired a whole bunch of others to join up on YouTube. Central Committee is one. Guy Mike from PA. He's also been a notable contributor to, things like the Sam Cedar Show. He's got an amazing, amazing stream. And I'm huge fans of these guys, so I wanted to talk about him right off the rip.
Sure. Hassan, I do remember him from being on the Young Turks.
Yes.
a few years ago. I really, really always enjoyed his coverage as a journalist. So, in this new medium that he's in on Twitch, how does he break up the focus between gaming and politics, or is it all just joined together?
So it is mostly politics focused. I would say it's 90% politics focused. And after, a good period of time, 4, 5, maybe 6 hours worth of covering politics, once he's run out of steam, he'll sometimes flip over to, recently it's been Valorant. He also played Stray on stream. But, it's one of those things where gaming is much more an afterthought at his channel. Mm-hmm. And the reason that people come there is for his commentary on politics. So, if you think about Twitch as a place to watch other people play games, Hassan breaks that mold and shows you that the medium can be used for much more than I think people come to the medium expecting.
And maybe a lot more, something we continually talk about is that there's a good number of parents and teachers and other, older adults out there with teenagers who are on Twitch, who are playing streaming games, and maybe not aware of how influential these people are in their sons, daughters, niece, nephews' lives.
Absolutely. These are the new generation of celebrities. I mean, when you start talking about some of the numbers that are involved in terms of viewership and followers, these are really the next generation of celebrities. And whether the mainstream has taken the time to start giving them the same attention that they give to, your average celebrity, there are kids who are following this, much like how maybe when we were growing up, some of us were following things like TMZ. Mm-hmm. And I think it is important to have at least a sense of who some of the biggest players are. And honestly, for all of the parents out there that might be concerned about, who their kid is watching, take the time to sit down with them and maybe watch a little bit with them and try to explain or contextualize what you're seeing and hearing, because just like people are different, you know, everybody's stream is different too. So, you know, the content that you're met with there is going to vary widely between different channels.
Absolutely. All right. Who else we got coming up here?
So XQC is the next one that I wanted to talk about, just kind of, you know, on the flip side and related exactly to what you were talking about, knowing who these, you know, these folks are, knowing, you know, some of their outlooks and some of their for lack of a better term, character is really important. And XQC is a guy who he's a Canadian streamer, and he found notoriety during the Overwatch League playing for the Dallas Fuel. He was already starting to kind of have a blow up moment on Twitch where tons of people were really watching him. But I think most people found him because of the notoriety that he gained from playing in the first season of the Overwatch League. He was released from the Dallas Fuel mid-season due to being banned in Overwatch for toxic communication. This is and I think XQC is a really, really good example of someone who started as a very sensational streamer who was not very mature and not necessarily very responsible either. But as he has grown and as his audience continues to grow, has become much more mindful about the things that he puts out there on Twitch. So I think XQC is maybe one of the best examples of someone who, you know, when they receive an accolade like most watched streamer in 2020 and 2021, that's 2 years running, that they maybe start to think about the things that they put out into the world a little bit more seriously. And so I have a lot of I've gained a lot of respect for XQC. He's someone that I had the opportunity to meet out at 100 Thieves party at E3 a couple of years ago. And, you know, he was a very polite person, but, you know, someone who at the time I was just not that interested in meeting because of his reputation. And as he's continued to grow, so has his reputation, and it started to improve a lot.
Well, a lot of these folks on Twitch and these gamers are not much older than their audience.
That's very true.
So they're growing up and growing themselves. And that's really, it's really cool to hear to hear someone gaining that kind of self-awareness and, you know, taking on the responsibility of how they're leading their fans. And you know,
I mean, when you're leading a community of 11.1 million followers,
wow, that is insane,
right?
Insane.
With, you know, peak viewership at 312,000 and average sitting around 37,000, I think it makes you a little bit more reflective of the things that you put out into the world. And bravo for XQC for actually really taking some time to think about that and to figure it out. But amazing point there that, yeah, a lot of these folks that we're talking about are very young. Many of them have never been trained as media people. So they're kind of putting themselves out there without a net. And that is, you know, I think for a lot of reasons, it's both commendable, but it's also pretty amazing what these people have been able to build just on their own, which, you know, we can't talk about streamers without talking about Ninja, a.k.a. Tyler Blevins. He is one of the biggest streamers, excuse me. He was on the cover of ESPN Magazine, has, you know, dropped the ball at New Year's Eve. He is an establishment. He is, you know, one of the cornerstones of streaming. 18.3 million followers on Twitch. By the way, that is the most followed channel on Twitch. 572 million total views, a peak viewership of 616,000. 616,000 and average viewership of 31,000.
And he's a Detroit native.
He is. I believe he was from downriver. He's, I think, living in Chicago now. But yeah, a Detroit native, a Detroit Lions fan still. I believe he even came and introduced the season for the Detroit Lions, but also known by his blue hair. That's his sort of iconic look. Actually, also worth noting that Ninja just took a break from streaming. There's some question about what his future plans are, but taking a break from streaming mid-Fortnite match a couple of weeks ago.
That is something that we will be talking about on the show. I'm working on a segment right now about how so many of these influencers that we've been talking about, they've grown up on social media.
Yeah.
Many of them started young in their teens, and gaining so many millions of followers and so much of that they just haven't taken a break from streaming or from any of that, a mental health break, really, and how that's really, you can see when you're watching some of these folks, whether it's Twitch or Instagram or TikTok, they might not be having a great time at the moment, and probably time to take a break. So we're talking about mental health and social media, and especially for folks who are constantly putting out content, constantly producing.
Yeah, absolutely. Burnout among content creators is a really, really big deal. And if you think about it, you know, what we do here at WDET in a lot of ways is content creation, but we have a very structured way that we approach it. And there is no structure when it comes to, you know, making YouTube videos or doing Twitch streams. And it's all, you know, personal motivation that goes into that kind of thing. And it's very, very important to talk about. And it's important to take breaks as well. A couple other folks I wanted to talk about. Amaranth is one of the biggest influencers on Twitch. 5.79 million followers on Twitch, 401 million views, peak viewership at around 33,000. Amaranth is a social media influencer, glamour model, and philanthropist. She was mostly known for ASMR streams for a while, but then ended up pioneering the genre of hot tub streaming. Now,
is that exactly what it sounds like?
It is exactly what it sounds like. Yeah, it's somebody sitting in a hot tub with a camera pointed at them, and they're talking to the chat. My favorite version of this is people who buy inflatable hot tubs and set them up in a room in their house.
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, did nobody think about this? Like, how are you going to get the water out without flooding everything?
But gotta find out the hard way.
this became such a divisive issue because there were so many people who were saying, you know, Twitch isn't really the place for streams like this. And Twitch said, yes, it is, to the point where they made its own category for
hot tub streaming. What?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So if you're looking for someone to hold responsible for that trend, well, that would be Amaranth.
Has anyone pioneered the sauna Twitch stream yet?
Nope. I have not seen that yet.
All right.
Another incredibly influential streamer, Pokimane, 9.23 million followers on Twitch, 220 million views. She's a Canadian streamer and YouTuber. She co-founded Offline TV, which is a online social entertainment group of content creators that all live together out in LA. And, you know, they constantly make content together. So again, what we were kind of talking about a little bit ago, you know, people who are just constantly churning out content. And Pokimane rose in popularity playing games like League of Legends and Fortnite, and she is the most followed female streamer on Twitch. So real quick, before we end up wrapping up here, I did want to talk about some of the YouTube side of things. And YouTube is a little bit older. It's a more established platform. And it's very interesting if you kind of wanted to put it on the political spectrum. Twitch has a much more leftist based user base where YouTube tends to promote more right wing content. To that end, you've got people like PewDiePie, who was the most subscribed to YouTube channel for a long, long time, 111 million subscribers on YouTube, 28.5 billion total views. I mean, you know, people have spent a lot of time with PewDiePie's videos, and he has been criticized a number of times for the types of language that he decides to use on his stream. You know, he has been criticized for normalizing actual fascist authors, and you know, it's there is a really real, like, when you scratch the surface of PewDiePie, it starts to get really, really seedy very, very quickly.
But is he based in the U.S. or is he based elsewhere?
No, he, I believe, is based somewhere in the Netherlands, but he is 100% in Europe. But he was one of these guys who did Let's Play videos that, you know, it's sort of similar to a stream where you've got, you know, someone who's commenting on the gameplay, but oftentimes they're edited. And he was one of these folks that would have big, you know, bombastic reactions to things, which is how his popularity started to gain. And then he kind of took a turn into, you know, shock jock world and started doing a number of, distasteful pranks and bits. And in fact, his most recent thing was a feud with the T-Series channel, which is a record label that's based in India, to the point where he was sued and subsequently for defamation and lost. So, you know, there's always that. And the last person I'd like to talk about is one of the old school content creators on YouTube for video game content, and that's MatPat, who runs the channel Game Theory. And in 2011, MatPat started uploading Game Theory videos discussing the relationship between reality and gaming in terms of science, math, and culture. So you get videos in there like, how much is Minecraft's diamond armor worth? Is Mario a communist? And you know, some really fascinating stories about things like Polybius and how that was supposedly somehow related to MK Ultra.
Wow.
Yeah, some really, really fascinating videos. He has spun out his channel in the subsequent years into things like food theory and film theory. So if you're not as into games, you can check those out as well. MatPat, an excellent, excellent content creator over on YouTube.
And there are, you know, so many influencers, so many big players to talk about, and we will be diving more into some profiles on future episodes or future segments of One Update. Thank you so much, Nate.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Nate Bender is our own in-house gaming journalist here at WDET. He is the host of the Daily Gaming News Podcast, Let's Play. Where can they find you on Let's Play a Game, Nate?
You can search Let's Play Daily Gaming News.
All right. Thank you so much.